Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. We hope that all of you and your families had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Now, out in East County's mountains and rural areas, gusty winds, some of them near hurricane force, caused power outages that disrupted their Thanksgiving feasts. Speaking of power, new rebates are available for consumers locally who purchase energy-saving electrical appliances, and we'll have details. The accused mass shooter in a Colorado Springs gay nightclub is the grandson of Assemblyman Randy Vopel, a Trump-supporting Republican with a history of inflammatory remarks glorifying violence, including the attack on the Capitol. El Cajon's application for a county grant to build a homeless shelter has been turned down by the county. We'll tell you why on today's show, and why City Manager Graham Mitchell believes the county's requirements are too difficult for local cities to meet. Then, from California News Service, hear a report on how much California's booming outdoor recreational activities are now worth, the highest in the nation. On Destination East County, we will have a wealth of wonderful holiday activities coming up across our inland region that we'll be telling you about, including community festivals, elaborate holiday lighting displays, the Polar Express train ride, holiday craft fairs, visits from Santa, a parade of lights and snow festival, and more. From Public News Service, we'll have some national news stories today, including a case before the Supreme Court that could impact voting access, the outcomes of elections in which election deniers were on the ballot, and more. Now, as you deck the halls for the holiday season, it's important to know that some types of decorations can be dangerous for pets. We'll have some holiday pet safety tips for you today. We'll also replay our Sounds of History episode with Helen Oldfield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, recalling fond holiday memories. The holiday season is a time of giving, and we'll have information for you on how you can donate to the Toys for Tots drive to brighten the holiday season for children in need, as well as how you can help homebound seniors in La Mesa through a gift drive organized by the La Mesa Chamber of Commerce. On People Power, hear how Lemon Grove honored a radio music host and community activist who has been diagnosed with brain cancer. We'll also have a health alert today on tuberculosis, or TB, that may have exposed students and teachers at Cal State San Marcos between August and early November. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. Gusty winds howled across East County's mountains and rural regions Wednesday night and Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. The National Weather Service reports peak gusts as high as 89 miles an hour on Sill Hill near Descanso and 75-mile-an-hour winds on Cuyamaca Peak in San Diego's inland region between 10 p.m. Wednesday night and 10 a.m. Thursday morning. Many other local areas had strong winds as well. Across East County, many communities were left without power due to damage from high winds, and some were left without electricity until evening, putting a damper on Thanksgiving feast for those relying on electricity to roast that turkey and cook up the rest of their holiday dishes. Communities impacted included Campo, Del Zura, Potrero, the Bostonia and Granite Hills area of El Cajon, Julian, Winola, Pine Hills, Santa Isabel, Ramona, Live Oak Springs, and Boulevard. Now, during high winds, CAL FIRE urges residents to avoid activities that could spark a fire, such as using a weed whacker or barbecue. The National Weather Service advises securing loose items that could fall over or become airborne, such as patio umbrellas. And if driving, watch for downed trees, limbs, or power lines. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, in the heart of San Diego's East County in Descanso, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Marie Johnson with East County Magazine's Green Scene Report. San Diego Gas and Electric customers looking to save money are encouraged to take advantage of a new statewide program offering rebates from $20 to $500 for energy-efficient water heaters, room air conditioners, and smart thermostats. Residential customers served by local community choice aggregation programs, such as San Diego Community Power and the Clean Energy Alliance, are also eligible for the rebates. The newly launched Golden State Rebates program offers instant discounts to eligible residential customers for the purchase of certain products and appliances at a variety of online and brick-and-mortar retail outlets, including Best Buy, Home Depot, Lowe's, Google Store, and Ecobee. SDG&E Director of Customer Programs, Holly Bierman, says, "Beyond the immediate savings from the rebates, energy-efficient products can help customers save in the long run on their gas and electric bills by reducing their energy consumption. By replacing older models of appliances with ultra-efficient ones, families can potentially save hundreds of dollars per year while also reducing their carbon footprint," she adds. According to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Energy Star program, ultra-efficient Energy Star certified heat pump water heaters can save a household of four about $470 per year on their electric bills compared to a standard electric water heater, and more than $4,500 over the equipment's lifetime. Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems connected to a smart thermostat with room sensors could potentially help a customer save up to 10%. Smart thermostats can be remotely managed by a smartphone app, so it's easy for users to adjust room temperatures or turn off their AC on the go. So how does the rebate program work? You can sign up for an account on goldenstaterebates.clearresult.com. That's goldenstaterebates.clearresult.com. Verify your eligibility, then receive a coupon via email for your selected product to be redeemed at a participating in-store or online retailer of your choice. Set to run through December 2024, Golden State Rebates is the only statewide instant rebate program that works with retailers directly to make purchasing energy-efficient products more convenient and affordable for consumers.
Pilots safely landed two helicopters that collided near San Diego's brownfield Tuesday evening. One of those was a Firehawk helicopter contracted by SDG&E for year-round firefighting in our region. The other was a Navy Seahawk with three crew members aboard. Despite the damage, crews and their families have much to be thankful for, since both aircraft landed safely with no injuries, according to Navy spokesperson Brian Blair, NBC7 reports. SDG&E has indicated that it was notified of the accident by the contractor who owns and operates the helicopter, adding that the most important thing is that all parties are safe. The Firehawk had been contracted by SDG&E since 2019 for year-round rapid response dispatch by CAL FIRE. It was capable of flying at up to 140 miles an hour with a tank of water while en route to a fire. It holds 850 gallons of water and refills in 45 seconds, according to SDG&E. Now, this is the second aerial asset that SDG&E has been making available to our region for year-round fire suppression. The other and far larger aircraft is the Ericsson Aircrane, and it holds 2,650 gallons of water or fire suppressant and is the largest water-dropping helitanker in the country. The cause of the crash remains under investigation by the Federal Aviation Administration. It is unclear how severely the helicopters were damaged or whether SDG&E or its private contractor will repair or replace the damaged firefighting helicopter. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The mass shooting suspect accused of killing five people and wounding at least 25 more at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs on November 19th is the grandson of East County Assemblyman Randy Vopel, a former Santee mayor who has a history of inflammatory speech glorifying violence. The independent media outlet Heavy.com first reported the connection, which has since been verified by multiple news organizations. Our news organization has reached out to Assemblyman Vopel's office for comment, but we have not received a response. Vopel lost his re-election bid to Assemblymember Mary Waldron, a fellow Republican whom he squared off against due to redistricting. Waldron received over twice as many votes as Vopel. The shooting suspect, 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich, is the son of Laura Vopel, a support engineer from California who has worked in Colorado Springs for the past several years. On Facebook, she praised her father in April 2020, stating, "Keep up the work, Dad. You work hard to improve our lives." Then identified her father as the California State Assembly member representing the 71st District in San Diego and Riverside counties. Aldrich is accused of entering Club Q, a gay nightclub hosting a drag show, with a long rifle and opening fire around midnight before bar patrons overpowered him. According to Colorado Springs police, an Army veteran disarmed Aldrich and beat him with his own gun. Media reports confirm that other patrons joined in to overpower the gunman, including a drag queen who reportedly stomped on the gunman with high heels. Aldrich faces 5 murder charges and 5 counts of committing a bias-motivated crime causing bodily injury, court records indicate. He remains hospitalized with injuries caused by the brave bar patrons who fought back. A man with the same name and age as Aldrich was previously arrested in 2021 after his mother reported to law enforcement that he had a homemade bomb, multiple weapons, and ammunition, according to a press release issued by the El Paso County Sheriff's Department, which covers Colorado Springs. That incident prompted a SWAT team response and standoff, with nearby homes evacuated. Aldrich was arrested for felony menacing and 3 counts of first-degree kidnapping. No explosives were found, however, and he was never prosecuted. His mother posted on social media seeking legal counsel for his son at that time, and has also posted indicating her son had mental health issues. Assemblyman Vopel drew controversy 4 days after the violent insurrection at the Capitol that killed several people and injured 150 police officers. In an interview with the San Diego Union-Tribune, published January 10, 2021, 4 days after the attack, Vopel, a MAGA Republican and Trump supporter, said of the insurrection, "This is Lexington and Concord," a reference to 2 battles that started the Revolutionary War. Vopel added, "First shots fired against tyranny. Tyranny will follow in the aftermath of the Biden swear-in on January 20th, he predicted. That prompted many posts on his Facebook page overwhelmingly condemning his statements, including calls for him to resign. The Truman National Security Project, a group founded after the 9/11 terror attacks to advocate for national security solutions, sent a letter to the California Assembly calling for Vopel to be expelled. The group called his words an explicit glorification of the insurrection and direct incitement of further violence, noting that Vopel was both a veteran and an elected official. After that controversy, Vopel tried to walk back his remarks, posting on Facebook, "I do not condone or support the violence and lawlessness that took place on Wednesday, January 6th at our nation's capital." Vopel also has a history of opposing gay rights. In July 2015, while speaking on his candidacy to a conservative group, Vopel stated, "Personally, I'm a Southern Baptist. I do not support gay marriage in a biblical way, but it's the law of the land." He added that he thinks if more Christians had stood up, the decision might have been stopped. Vopel also quipped that he deserved election because, quote, "I haven't been indicted in 15 years of serving on the Santee City Council or as Santee's mayor." A Navy veteran, Vopel was accused of stolen valor and inflating his military record several years ago by his then opponent, former Navy SEAL Larry Wilsk, also a Republican. He was also caught on tape boasting of being in heavy combat and serving with the Tiger Battalion in Vietnam while speaking to a Korean veterans group, claims that appeared to be false. In addition, he praised Korean veterans for killing communists. Both Vopel and his soon-to-be replacement, Assemblymember Marie Waldron, ducked out and did not vote on an assembly resolution calling on then-President Donald Trump to resign due to his role in inciting the mob that stormed the Capitol during the January 6, 2020 insurrection. Colorado Governor Jared Polis, a Democrat and the nation's first openly gay governor, issued a statement calling the attack on the gay nightclub horrific, sickening, and devastating. He praised those who blocked the gunman as well as first responders, adding, "Colorado stands with our LGBTQ community and everyone impacted by this tragedy as we mourn together." Police are treating the case as a hate crime and cited bias in charges filed, but details on the suspect's motive have not yet been released. President Joe Biden issued a statement voicing concern over hate crimes and violence, which he called horrific. President Biden concluded, "Gun violence continues to have a devastating and particular impact on LGBTQ communities across our nation, and threats of violence are increasing." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
The City of El Cajon's grant application to buy property to build a homeless shelter has been rejected by the County of San Diego. According to El Cajon City Manager Graham Mitchell, county staff informed him that the grant was rejected because the city did not own the property that was being proposed for the shelter. In other words, he says, the city did not own the property that the grant was intended to purchase. But Mitchell, in an email sent to El Cajon's mayor and city council, says he told county staff in a pre-grant question and answer session that the city intended to apply for a grant to buy land for a shelter. He says county staff encouraged the city to apply for the grant anyway, and that the city provided an update as requested, indicating that a formal offer on the property was about to be made. The application was through the county's Capital Emergency Housing Solutions Grant Program, for which Supervisor Joel Anderson had urged East County cities, including El Cajon, to apply. Supervisor Anderson, in a letter to the mayor and council sent November 17th, says staff from the county's Office of Homeless Solutions will contact the City of El Cajon staff regarding the next steps in the process. Anderson, whose letter to the Board of Supervisors earlier proposed the grant program, adds, "The county is committed to working with the city and any other potential partners in East County to explore your ideas." But Mitchell observed, "I am not sure how many cities have the luxury of buying and holding property in the hopes they can fund a shelter in the future." Mitchell said city staff has devoted considerable time and effort into the grant, working with outside organizations, including the East County Homeless Task Force and the San Diego Rescue Mission. Now, he reflects, "in retrospect, had I known this was a deal killer, we would have recommended either not applying, saving a lot of staff time, or giving the city council other options to consider." City Manager Mitchell told the council via email, "Unless there is a compelling reason to apply for a future county grant, I will likely not recommend the city apply for a future round if one becomes available." Though news that the grant did not fund comes as a disappointment for city officials seeking help to house the homeless, the greatest loss by the county's rejection of a plan for a long-awaited shelter will be felt by the growing number of homeless people camped on streets, in parks, or riverbeds. The county's rejection of El Cajon's grant proposal means these unhoused people will still have no safe place to sleep, let alone call home. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is Miriam Raftery with a local government report from Santee. Santee's City Council at its November 9th meeting determined that the four retail cannabis dispensaries now allowed inside its borders will be selected through a merit-based system instead of a first-come, first-served method or a lottery. City Manager Marlene Best says the merit system will likely give the council far more control in getting quality businesses and avoid having people camping out at City Hall to get the few available permits. The applications will be determined based on past business experience, a site analysis, background checks of permit holders, and a financial analysis of people seeking the permit. A map provided by the city shows that dispensaries might be located generally south of Mission Gorge Road and in the city's light industrial and commercial zoned properties, though the city council would make the ultimate decisions on where permits will be approved. There's also a 900-foot buffer zone required around sensitive sites such as churches, schools, and youth centers. Before elected officials can determine who will get a permit, the city will first have to adopt a set of rules covering the application process, fees, monitoring, and renewal rules. The city has hired a consulting company to conduct a fee study and research the other matters. The city did hold several public hearings before voting to legalize cannabis businesses, largely to prevent a potential citizens' ballot initiative that might have imposed laxer and more liberal standards. Some residents opposed legalization, as well as Mayor John Minto and Vice Mayor Ron Hall, who voted against making cannabis sales legal in Santee.
California is number one in the country for dollars spent on camping, hiking, climbing, and biking, according to the latest federal data. The most recent report from the Bureau of Economic Analysis also names boating and RV trips as the state's most lucrative outdoor sector. Katie Hawkins with the Outdoor Alliance says outdoor recreation added $862 billion to the national economy in 2021.
Outdoor recreation is 1.6% of the state's GDP. It employs around 517,000 people and accounts for $54 billion in spending.
Advocates are asking Congress to pass America's Outdoor Recreation Act, which includes the Public Lands Act. The latter would add wilderness protection to more than 600,000 acres of land and protect more than 580 miles of river in the northwest part of the state, the Central Coast, and in Southern California. Opponents say current protections are sufficient and warn that additional regulations could stifle economic activity in mining, logging, and oil and gas. Hawkins says the bills would help California reach its goal of protecting 30% of the land and water by the year 2030, and that would help with the fight against global warming and sea level rise because undisturbed land sequesters carbon.
Here in California, we have seen firsthand the profound effects of climate change with the increasing severe wildfire seasons, drought, and heat waves.
Conservation groups are pressing lawmakers to bring these bills up for a vote during the lame duck session before the end of the year. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Marie Johnson with this week's Destination East County, featuring fabulous holiday events coming up across San Diego's inland region as East County communities celebrate the season. The first annual Lights at the Lakes Holiday Show will run on select dates between November 25th and December 24th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Santee Lakes Recreation Preserve. Guests will drive through 1 mile of over 35 different sparkling light displays set to music synchronized to car radios. Each time guests attend the show, it's a new experience. You can purchase tickets and reserve a time to visit Lights at the Lakes at santeelakes.com. Holiday lights on Main Street will illuminate downtown El Cajon on Saturday, November 26th. Tree lighting is at 6 p.m., but activities to celebrate the season will take place from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. A full street closure is planned around Magnolia and Main Street for the occasion. Youngsters can enjoy ice skating, carnival rides, holiday music, and Santa Claus at Santa's Village. There's also live music with the Audio Hounds in the afternoon and the Journeyman Band from 5 to 8 p.m. Plus, you're encouraged to participate in Small Business Saturday and do some shopping to support local businesses. Find more information at downtownelcajon.com. This year, Julian's Country Christmas Tree Lighting will be held on November 26th from noon to 8 p.m. at a new location, Julian Town Square on the corner of Main Street and Washington. There will be music and holiday performances all afternoon, as well as a Christmas market where you can shop for special gifts and await the arrival of Santa Claus to greet children of all ages. The tree lighting will occur between 5:30 and 6 p.m. The event is open to the public, Though VIP reserved seating options are available that include Julian goodies, charcuterie, and hot chocolate. You can find more information at visitjulian.com and click on the Events tab. The City of Lemon Grove will hold its 25th annual holiday bonfire on Friday, December 2nd from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Traganza Park, which is located at 3200 Main Street in Lemon Grove. The bonfire lighting will take place at 6 p.m., followed by a community aerial photo at 6:10 p.m. and an ugly sweater contest at 7 p.m. Activities also include rock climbing, game truck, bounce houses, arts and crafts, live music, complimentary cookies, popcorn, and hot chocolate, plus food trucks will be available. Details are available at lemongrove.ca.gov. Santa and his elves at the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce are hard at work getting ready for the 25th annual Spirit of Christmas on Main Avenue in Lakeside on Saturday, December 3rd from 3 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. There will be an atmosphere of an old-fashioned hometown celebration of Christmas and the holidays. The event features all the sights and sounds of Christmas. Starting at 3 p.m., you can enjoy holiday shopping from local clubs and vendors, children's activities, and delicious treats. There will also be performances by local youth, kids' activities and craft booths, classic car show, plus delicious food and beverages during this event. At 4:30 p.m., Santa arrives down Main Avenue. Then at 5 p.m., a community tree lighting ceremony will highlight the evening at the Old Presbyterian Church, home of the Lakeside Historical Society. And you can take photos with Santa and Mrs. Claus afterwards. For more information on this event, open to the entire community, you can visit lakesidechamber.org. The 7th annual La Mesa Holiday in the Village will ring in holiday cheer for everyone far and near on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 to 9 p.m. The event takes place along La Mesa Boulevard between Spring Street and 4th Street in the heart of downtown La Mesa. The event is open to the community with festive fun including live music, cozy fire pits, craft vendors, carnival games, foods, holiday photo opportunities, including selfies with Santa, and a kids' area bigger than Santa's toy shop. New this year is a holiday carol stroll featuring caroling by local school groups, clubs, and churches. Find more information at lamesavillageassociation.org. Visionary Dance Theater School for the Performing Arts will present The Nutcracker in a Nutshell at the Visionary Performing Space on December 9 through 11. Every winter in the land of the Squeaks, the rats throw a cheese ball with help from their friend the Nutcracker, who journeys across the kingdom inviting the animals. This year, Clara the Cat appears with plans to stop the ball and traps the poor Nutcracker inside a nutshell. Will the royal rat be able to save the Nutcracker and the ball? Enjoy as you are transported to Land of the Squeaks. Created and directed by Kaylee Hernandez, this production steps out of the traditional and blends multiple dance styles while set to the classic music composed by Tchaikovsky. The performance space is located at 7202 El Cajon Boulevard in San Diego, just east of La Mesa. For tickets, visit visionarydancetheater.org/visionary. You're invited to join in some merriment along the Ramona Holiday Wine Trail, which is held over the first three weekends in December. Your Wine Trail passport gives you access to special activities at over 20 wineries. To purchase a Wine Trail passport, you can visit RamonaValleyVineyards.com. Camp Christmas in Pine Valley transforms into a winter wonderland open to visitors for 3 days each weekend from just before Thanksgiving through December 23rd. Enjoy the crisp mountain air as you view thousands of computerized lights strung on trees and a spectacular water show, all synchronized to holiday music. There are also hay rides, bounce houses, laser tag, tree climbing, games, and attractions for all ages. New this year, there's a Pine Valley Train Depot, treetop climbing wall, and a bow and arrow arcade. You can also savor foods ranging from barbecue to a buffet with all-you-can-eat soup and salad, as well as donuts and more. For tickets and details, you can check pinevalleycampchristmas.com. The Crest Community Association invites you to a Christmas Crestival on December 3rd and 4th. You're invited to enjoy food, vendors, kids' stuff, and a visit from Santa Claus. The hours for the festival, which is open to the public, will be Saturday, December 3rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, December 4th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Santa will arrive via fire truck on Sunday at 2 p.m. Fairtrade La Mesa. Shop Fairtrade will hold a Christmas marketplace at St. Martin of Tours Parish at 7710 El Cajon Boulevard in La Mesa on Sunday, December 4th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. You are invited to shop for beautiful handmade, one-of-a-kind gifts supporting Fairtrade, including Christmas ornaments, cards, handmade quilts, coffee, chocolates, tea, bake sale, and more. Find details on this and other Fair Trade events at fairtradecampaigns.org/. Lions, Tigers, and Bears and Alpine invites you to celebrate the holiday season at San Diego's only accredited animal sanctuary. On Saturday, December 10th, from 1 to 5 p.m., guests can attend a special Christmas with the Animals event to watch your favorite exotic rescued animals open their Christmas gifts. You can also shop for gifts, get hot cocoa, foods, and festive surprises, and there may even be a special appearance by Santa Claus. There is a fee, and reservations are required, which can be made at the sanctuary's website, lionstigersandbears.org. Enchanted Village in Spring Valley. Noah's Homes in Spring Valley invites you to its annual Enchanted Village December 16th through the 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. Guests will stroll through acres of brilliantly lit trees, magical cottages, light tunnels, live entertainers, and over a million lights with interactive displays and other festive decorations. Santa will be at the Enchanted Village every night for photos with guests. Donations are requested to support lifelong homes for people with developmental disabilities at Noah's Homes. For more information, visit enchantedvillage.org/. Wild Holidays returns to the San Diego Zoo Safari Park in Escondido on select dates beginning November 25th and continuing through New Year's Day. The annual celebration invites guests to experience the wonders of the safari park with a special holiday twist. Guests can go on a festive expedition of lights and adventure through glowing pathways twinkling with holiday cheer, enjoy a variety of live musical performances, and encounter magnificent stilt walkers. There will be seasonally inspired culinary delights at the Safari Park's restaurant and food stands, and guests can shop for the perfect holiday gifts at numerous retail locations. There is an admission fee to the San Diego Zoo Safari Park, but no additional cost for the wild nights, displays, or activities. You can also shop at the gift shops, and when you give a gift from San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance, you are directly supporting wildlife conservation around the world. To find a schedule of dates and time for wild nights, you can visit sdzsafaripark.org/wild-holidays. The North Pole Express train ride departs from the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum in Compo several times each weekend in December. The fun begins at the lighted Compo Depot, which also has a gift shop and a hobo camp where you can hear tales from railroading's past. Once on board the North Pole Limited, Santa's elves will sing favorite Christmas carols, read a popular Christmas story, and pass out cookies and hot chocolate to all passengers. The train then stops at Santa's workshop to pick up Santa and Mrs. Claus, who will visit with all the passengers on the return journey. For tickets and more information, visit the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum website at psrm.org. Southern California's largest outdoor ice skating rink is now open at Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine, where you can enjoy ice skating as well as holiday shopping at factory outlet stores. The ice rink will remain open until January 8th. For more information, you can visit viejasoutletcenter.com. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
If you took the extreme independent legislature theory to the maximum amount that it could empower state legislatures to essentially decide otherwise, you have a vote, you don't like the result, the legislature appoints who they want.
Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren of California laid out her concerns regarding the independent state legislature theory, which contends only state lawmakers can regulate elections without interference from state courts. Legal observers, including the Brennan Center for Justice and the Brookings Institution, say the theory is a meritless interpretation of the Constitution. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear arguments in Moore v. Harper, which centers on newly redrawn congressional maps in North Carolina. Republicans argue the state Supreme Court did not have the right to invalidate a previous map. Claims of voter fraud may have propelled Christina Caramo to her party's nomination for Michigan's Secretary of State, but may also have cost her the election.
The only reason why my opponent is fighting to get a case tossed out of court or to keep dead people on the voter rolls is because she's intentionally trying to corrupt the election system, because she's an authoritarian seeking to rob you of your voice.
With the majority of races now called, analysts say voters rejected election deniers in more than 85% of statewide races where they were running. Only three non-incumbent election deniers won Secretary of State races around the country in the midterms. It's not surprising former Republican Governor of Maine Paul LePage did not call Democratic Governor Janet Mills to concede the race on election night.
You are not an honest, sincere person. You're an elitist. And I think that America needs better than people who are not caring for the people they govern.
In fact, none of the losing Republican candidates in Maine's top three races have called their winning opponents to personally concede. Election observers say the tradition of the phone call has been waning nationwide due to a growing distrust among Republicans in vote counting. Government analysts say the January 6th committee should make clear the Constitution's disqualification clause can be enforced against former President Donald Trump for his role in efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election and prevent him from holding office in the future. Liz Hempowitz, with the Project on Government Oversight, says a clear statement by the January 6th committee would provide guidance to state officials to determine their next steps.
Their administrative officials, state officials, courts, and will need to have access to the evidence that the committee has uncovered when they are asked to make this decision of whether or not an individual is disqualified.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
It's time to deck the halls for the holiday season, but some holiday decorations can pose safety hazards for your cat or dog. So San Diego County's Animal Service Department is offering these tips to protect your pet. Keep pets away from mistletoe, holly, and poinsettias, since these are toxic to animals. Consider using artificial holiday plants instead. Chocolate is toxic to pets, so keep stockings with chocolate treats out of reach, as well as any chocolate cookies you might leave out for Santa. Anchor your Christmas tree so pets can't tip it over. Clear fishing twine tied to the top of the tree and secured to a ceiling or wall is a simple way to keep your tree standing and protect your ornaments too. Never use tree preservatives in water in your Christmas tree stand, since this can be deadly if cats or dogs drink it. Cats love to play with tinsel and curling ribbon, but then they'll try to eat it. Tinsel is toxic and ribbon can obstruct your pet's intestinal tract. So keep these items away from curious critters. Hide electrical cords from your pets and make sure they can't play with or knock over any candles. Many dogs and cats get overwhelmed with all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, so having a quiet room allows them to escape and sleep undisturbed. On New Year's Eve, loud booms from fireworks can scare your canine companion. Some dogs will jump over fences to escape the noise. They run for miles and become lost, so set aside a safe, quiet place and be sure your dog is wearing identification just in case. Microchip both dogs and cats, since they slip out the door unnoticed while you're busy greeting holiday visitors. And if someone finds your lost pet, a vet's office or shelter can scan for a microchip, and you can easily be reunited. County Animal Service offers low-cost microchipping every Tuesday through Sunday, which includes national registration. You can also sign up for Finding Rover and upload a photo of your pet using your computer or smartphone. This free service uses facial recognition to help lost and found dogs be reunited with their owners. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Chardé Fontenot.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, bringing you the sounds of history. It's the holiday season here in Southern California, and memories of Christmas past keep bubbling up along with the champagne. Up and down the West Coast, even over the northern border into British Columbia, the weather tended to be kinder and gentler, just like now. The older we get, the more we think back to those childhood Christmases. So here we go, back to once upon a time. On the eve of St. Nicholas, I am inevitably reminded of those Christmases decades ago, when Victoria, British Columbia was filled with carolers, holly wreaths, punch bowls, and secrets. We children prayed for snow in that mild climate, pleading with the Almighty to at least send clouds and drizzle, the better to make the Christmas houses even cozier and merrier. Resolutely, we shut our eyes to the multiple Santa Clauses dotting the street corners. We knew that only one, the true bestower of rewards, because of course we were perfect children, and bestower of loot, would crash about in the chimney, consume the brandy and fruitcake left for him, then depart with Donner and Blitzen, leaving a trail of marvelous, knobby packages in his wake. For my father, Christmas meant extra work at his dairy, which was also well-staffed with many Italian immigrants. He used to deliver milk on a wagon pulled by a brown horse aptly dubbed Brownie. My brother and I took turns on December weekends, aiding with the delivery of eggnog, whipping cream, butter, and ice cream. Everything was real then. Everything was fattening. It also felt so strange to rise before dawn, eat huge bowls of oatmeal, pack immense ham sandwiches, then drive away in the dark and silent dawn. When we sat on Brownie, a benumbed individual in a straw hat, whose leaden saunter belied, I was sure, a heart of fire, his sole reaction was a doleful gaze over one shoulder. Yet we felt daring and powerful to be seated so far from the ground, and our hearts leapt up when Brownie shifted position, or, as we later described it to school chums, leaped and galloped forward while we hung on for dear life. Along the milk route, mothers used to give us cookies and tell us we were responsible children. Their own children turned green with envy as we strode past, clinking bottles for effect, and intoning, "Here's your extra order, Mrs. Robinson." Father used to whisper the customers' names to us as we approached so we could give things a personal touch. But when we got to Con Maggiore's house, Father would break into the Toreador song from Carmen, giving it his best tenor tremolo. Con's bass would boom from the kitchen, and they'd finish the chorus together on the back stoop, waving eggnog aloft to the delight of the urchins, who instantly gathered. Every year at Christmas, the dairy company threw a huge party for the employees and their families. This bacchanal was always held in the Knights of Pythias Hall, which was full of huge, brass-studded leather chairs and crepe-papered tables loaded with edibles. We never, ever saw any Pythian knights and kept wondering when we'd hear the clank of armor. We never dreamed that somebody's portly father, sitting next to us in the hall, paper plate on knee, was such a legendary creature. As we grew older, my sisters and I would entertain with song and dance, invariably noting, brats that we were, that we compared very favorably to the other performers in the talent show. But I recall one disastrous number. Mother dressed me in a baggy gown and stuffed it fore and aft with pillows, so I would resemble a prototype opera singer. Clutching a picture of an unshaven, cigar-chomping sergeant, I sang My Hero from The Chocolate Soldier in ringing falsetto tones to show I was an old-fashioned, whooping crane-type singer. But nobody in the audience knew what was so funny, and neither did I, so I exited to thundering silence. I was 13 and crushed. Various dairymen, who were good sports, took turns every Christmas being Santa Claus. One evening, Father told us he'd been chosen for the role. He loved this sort of thing. On the big day, Father's arrival from the North Pole was signaled by mad jingling of bells, and all the children at the party began shrieking with excitement. Throughout the gift-giving ceremony, he kept up a steady stream of jolly prattle as each child hurtled forward for a package. As we approached, there were elaborate winks from other parents as Father rumbled, "Now, who can this be?" Everybody got a mesh stocking filled with whistles and yo-yos. Boys received leather stamping sets or dump trucks. Girls got embroidery sets, wash me, spank me, change me dollies, or weaving sets, advising us to make a sampler, just like mother's, who had never made one in her life. But I dreaded the abruptness of ending it all the day after Christmas. The grand festival had arrived and departed in a trice, and all we could do was grow a bit older. It was all so funny and silly and amateur and affectionate. But it bred whimsy and fancy in our souls, that same fancy that prompts children to think a chair a locomotive, an old curtain a trailing court dress, or a man in a red flannel suit the real Santa Claus. It is the part that is the essence of play. It is easily damaged, as all precious things are. Each Christmas, one hopes that the child in us will survive the commercial onslaught and retain not the material trappings, but the meaning of the rituals, for everyone, no matter who, no matter where. For the Sounds of History, I'm Helen Ofield.
This is a public service announcement from the County of San Diego. The annual Toys for Tots campaign is underway this holiday season. The county and the Marines have teamed up with donation boxes now through 1 p.m. December 10th at 5 county airports, including Gillespie Field in El Cajon, Ramona Airport, Borrego Valley Airport, Fallbrook Airport, and McClellan Palomar Airport in Carlsbad. Donations being accepted now through the 10th are new unwrapped toys, bikes, games, dolls, stuffed animals, and other play items to brighten up a child's holidays. All donations will be given out to children in San Diego County communities, and pilots are welcome to fly in and deliver their donations at the airport.
The La Mesa Chamber of Commerce is seeking donations of items to help 16 homebound seniors in La Mesa this holiday season. Gifts will be assembled in large gift baskets and bags. The gifts will be delivered by the La Mesa Retired Senior Volunteer Patrol. To allow time for wrapping and delivery, all donated items must be received by Friday, December 2nd. You can bring those items to Fran Smith at the La Mesa Chamber of Commerce office, and that's located at 8080 La Mesa Boulevard, Suite 214, between Monday and Friday from 11 to 3 p.m. Mary England, the Chamber of President, can also meet donors 7 days a week to come pick up your items directly, and you can call her at 619-251-7730. Items that are suggested to purchase or donate for the cause include canned soups, vegetables, canned fruits, crackers, pasta, marinara sauce, macaroni and cheese, instant cereals, bars of soap, tubes of toothpaste and other toiletries, bottles of hand soaps, hand sanitizer, socks, pens, pads of paper, gift cards in any denomination from the following locations: Walmart, Target, or any grocery store. Please double-check expiration dates on foods, and if you have another item that you think would put a smile on seniors' faces, please drop them off. Chamber President Mary England says, "We want to make this a memorable holiday for our homebound seniors again this year." And again, the deadline to drop items off at the La Mesa Chamber office is Friday, December 2nd. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is John Tidwell with East County Magazine's People Power Report. Community leaders and elected officials gathered at Tragansa Heritage Park in Lemon Grove last month to honor Dr. Tayari Howard, a Lemon Grove resident and founder of Legacy Media Publishing, Promotions and Production. The award-winning broadcaster, legendary smooth jazz radio voice, and host of the Music for Lovers program, and activist, was recently diagnosed with brain cancer. The city's first memorial tree planted in Howard's honor was paid for by the People's Association of Justice and its president, Shane Harris. A memorial brick was also installed. Harris said, "Tayari Howard has gone above and beyond his profession and has personally raised more than $1.8 million for 30 different San Diego nonprofit agencies," adding, "He deserves to be recognized while he's still here to receive it." Others at the ceremony included Lemon Grove Mayor Raquel Vasquez, Councilmember Jennifer Mendoza, Cheryl Morrow, publisher of the San Diego Monitor News, and local pastors, as well as Howard's partner and children. Tayari Howard has worked in radio, TV, and newsprint for the past 50 years. Today he specializes in media relations, digital internet radio programming, special event promotions, nonprofit organizational development, and more. He has also been the voice of the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Day Parade. Dr. Howard is the second of three generations of his family, spanning 91 years in the broadcasting business. His mother was one of the first black female radio personalities and producers in the United States. His father spent 21 years in radio and is credited for breaking in such talents as James Brown and Diana Ross. Dr. Howard has two grown daughters who have also worked in the broadcast industry. Dr. Howard has received numerous awards, including from the City of San Diego and from two U.S. presidents, George W. Bush and Barack Obama, who awarded Howard a Lifetime Achievement Award, honoring his philanthropy and volunteerism.
This is Miriam Raftery with an alert from the San Diego County Health and Human Services Agency. Students and staff at California State University San Marcos in San Diego's North County may have been exposed to tuberculosis, or TB, during the fall session. County Public Health Services and CSU San Marcos officials have worked in close collaboration to identify and notify those at highest risk of exposure to TB, and they'll be providing no-cost testing to people at increased risk for infection. The period when you may have been exposed, if you were at the campus, was from August 30th through November 8th. Tuberculosis is an airborne disease transmitted from person to person through inhaling bacteria in the air, spread when somebody sick with TB coughs, speaks, sings, or breathes. Anybody with frequent and prolonged indoor exposure to a person sick with TB should get tested. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says symptoms of active TB include a persistent cough, fever, night sweats, and unexplained weight loss. Now, most people who become infected with TB do not get sick right away after they're exposed. It can take months or sometimes even years to become ill after you're exposed. Blood tests and skin tests are effective to determine if somebody has been infected, however. It's especially important for people with symptoms of active TB and those who are immune compromised to see their doctor or medical provider to rule out active tuberculosis and to discuss treatment. Now, fortunately, effective treatments are available to treat people who are sick from active TB. People who test positive for TB but who don't yet have symptoms should get a chest x-ray and talk to a medical provider, since they most likely have latent TB infection. That means the infection is present but dormant. Taking medicine can prevent people with latent TB infection from getting active TB in the future. You can get more information about exposure at Cal State San Marcos from the Cal State San Marcos campus or from the county's TB control program. Now, the number of annual TB cases in San Diego County has decreased since the early 1990s and stabilized in recent years. There were 192 cases in 2020, 201 cases reported in 2021, and so far this year, as of the end of October, 150 cases have been reported in San Diego County. But an estimated 175,000 people in San Diego County have latent TB infection, and they are at risk for developing active TB without preventive treatment.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, A.K. Jewell, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show. A free press is the foundation of our democracy. You can support independent public media for our region. Please support KNSJ by making a donation or a sustaining monthly pledge of any amount at www.knsj.org. We're your community radio station, KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, serving the San Diego border region from the mountains to the sea. That's www.knsj.org.